Okay, ready? Okay. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Joshua 22, verse 5. Wow, I see those mouths moving. Very good. Here we go again. But take careful heed to do the commandments and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Joshua 22, verse 5. And now we have worship.
Elisa, could you come up, please? Elisa has put together something that the Lord gave her, and I wanted to pass it on to you, but I want her to explain everything about it. So, and then Lisa will be passing them out to you, okay?
So I was starting in Joshua 13 through 19, and I was reading it, and I remember when Joy did the first teaching on it, and she said, how many of you said, oh my, when you're reading all of this? And that's my reaction was, oh my, how am I going to get through where all these tribes are going and where the land is being given to, and this one has this border and this thing. And I read it, but I didn't really read it. And I went back, and I know all scripture is for our benefit. So I'm an artist, and I do a lot of art journaling, and I took the map and I copied it in my journal. And I thought, okay, I'm going to put some neat scriptures and stuff inside of this. And then the Lord said, why don't you take some tracing paper and put it on top of the map and trace the map? So I did that, and then I laid it down, and I thought, I'm going to draw some pretty pictures. But then he said, what about the land I've given you? This is the land I gave the Israelites, but what about your land? You're a mother, you're a sister, you're a daughter, you're a grandmother, you're a friend. What's the land that I have given you to claim? So I divided it up, and I started putting in there my son, my daughter-in-laws, my grandchildren, my friends, my sister, and it made me realize there's a lot of land that we all have to conquer that God has given us. And I learned three things in that, and I started praying over those things. That number one was what a privilege it is to be in this fight with the Lord. I mean, he has given us, he has this land already. The battle's won, but we are to fight it with him. And one was always to seek him first in every battle, because the Israelites always had the ark going first, or the priests went first. So I have to seek him in every battle. And the second thing was to pray as he leads me. Some prayers, when you're praying for your children, are like hand-to-hand combat. I mean, you're on your knees fighting for your children. Sometimes the Lord would say something, pray this way, like Jericho, just praise me, walk around, and even if it doesn't make any sense, but the Lord is doing that jiggling of the earth underneath your children and your grandchildren, and he is bringing down the victory. So pray however he tells you to pray. Raise your hands, yell, sing, whatever way he calls you to pray. And then the last thing was that the battle belongs to him. And when I started praying for my son who has melanoma on his back, and it's, you know, frightening, and I'm down here, you know, praying, and he said, wait a minute, look who's fighting for you. Look at all the angels out there. Look at the army of the Lord that's fighting for you. And then all of a sudden, the battle is much more doable because you're not alone. So anyway, that's what the Lord had given me.
Great, thank you. So hopefully, thank you. So Lisa's going to pass all of these out. Are they already being passed out? So every one of you will get this. And so what she did was she wrote in the countries or in the territories, she wrote what those things were that she was praying for, the territory that needs to be taken. So it's a good visual for us. Does that make sense to all of you guys? What she did? Okay. As we get into this last part of Joshua, so we're coming to the end of the book of Joshua, and we're coming to the place where Joshua will, it will be spoken of his death. Eleazar will also come to the end of his life as well. It is the end of a generation, and an end of a generation of strong, committed men with hopes and prayers that they have passed on those same qualities to the next generation. Have you ever felt that way about your kids? Oh, I hope I've just given them everything they need for when I'm no longer here, for when they're on their own, just to be able to do this. I wanted to bring to your attention, I was listening to Brian this morning, and he said something that just sparked my thoughts. On this study, we're coming to the end of Joshua, and we are on the horizon of the judges. It was only about 250 years before Judges. After Joshua died, only about 250 years. I think it was after Joshua died. No, I'm incorrect. After the victories and everybody was sent home, 250 years later, we have the account of what transpired in those 250 years and how quickly they went down. I was reminded that, and I don't know, how many of you looked to the book of Judges? We have one, we have two. Raise your hand if you've done the book of Judges, if you've read it. Okay, you've read the book of Judges. Okay. Oh, my. I don't want to have to study that one. Please, please, let's not do that. Lisa, where are you, Lisa? She went out and make a coffee. So she was talking about the fact that our Constitution, can you say real loud what you said about the Constitution? Most constitutions last 17 years, and the United States Constitution has lasted 235 years, and because our founding fathers based everything on Scripture. And you've heard it said of late, this experiment is coming to an end. This experiment called the United States, with the Constitution, the way that it is coming to an end. What Brian had said was everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. And that sparked my attention. In the book of Judges, it says that every man was doing what was right in their own eyes. When I listen to the situations with homosexuality, with all of the things that are being allowed, with things that are not confronted, the reason that we don't confront it is because that's what's right for them. We don't want to offend them, so we say nothing. And we end up in the book of Judges. And so, just a reminder to pray. Keep going, keep moving forward, and we'll just get into our study now. So just that reminder to keep our eyes on the Lord. They fought for the land for 7 years. They've driven out most of the enemies. Some of the enemies remained, and we find that they remained and caused trouble. They've divided all of the land, and now they've gathered together for this ceremony, sort of, to have an honorable discharge of all those who have fought. So the army has been honorably discharged, and they're going to be going to their own places. And so that's the setting when we get into this chapter, chapter 22. And then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days, so you've been right by their side, fighting right by their side up to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God, and now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren, as he promised them. Now, therefore, return, go to your tents and to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you in the on the other side of the Jordan. So, okay, guys, you're honorably discharged. You get to go to your own homes. You get to go to your own tents. That's for both sides. They've all been fighting. They've been fighting for 7 years. Here they are. And they go with this admonition that is in verse 5. But take diligent heed. Take diligent heed. Pay attention to what I'm saying to you, Joshua says. Pay attention to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, I would say. I've just added to the word, I'm sorry. And then he gives them that admonition. Love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, keep his commandments, hold fast to him, serve him with all your heart, serve him with all of your soul. And then he blessed them. He blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now, half the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given a possession in Bashan, but the other, we know that the possession was on the other side of the Jordan, westward. And indeed, when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them. He spoke to them. He said, return with much riches to verse 8. Return with much riches to your tents, with very much livestock, with silver, gold, bronze, iron, a lot of clothes. How many of you have a lot of clothes? So they had a lot of clothes that they were taking. They had extra bins to put their clothing in, along with the gold and the silver and the bronze. And you remember that these are the very things that Achan took when he wasn't supposed to. But here they've gotten all the spoils, and they were to share it with the brethren. But wait a minute, I did the fighting. I did the fighting. I won this. This is for everyone. Everything that I have belongs to us. Everything that God has given me does not belong to me. Everything that I have does not belong to me. I am to bless others with everything that I have, whether that's clothes or other things, whether or not that's some wisdom, maybe it's time. Everything that I have belongs to the Lord, and I need to allow the Lord to use that. So the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh returned. I love how they keep saying those three, and you have to read those three every time. And departed from the children of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, which they possessed according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So they've done everything that they were supposed to do, and now they're on their way back home. It's been 7 years. Some of them had kids, maybe. Kids are 7 years old, maybe. Wow, a lot to go back to. But here's the problem. It's not a problem at all, but here's what happened. And when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, these three tribes, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a great, impressive altar. Of course they did. They blessed it. They were excited about what God had done. They built something for a reminder of what God has done. It wasn't that they had done anything wrong. They just wanted it to be a reminder. And as we go through the story, we find out what they needed it to be a reminder for. So we don't know how much time elapsed from verse 10 to verse 11. Because in verse 11, it says, "Now the children of Israel heard someone say," they heard someone say, about what the Reubenites and the Gadites and the Manasseh people had done. They heard somebody say this. And so they passed it on, and they are all up in arms, and they bring it to the leaders, that they said that they've built an altar on the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region of the Jordan on the side occupied by the children of Israel. They put it on our land. They put it on our land. But we know what happens when we build altars. We've been through this before. I don't want to go through this, so we need to deal with this. So they made an assumption on why this was there. First thing they did is they made an assumption of what someone else has done. Have you ever made an assumption on what someone else has said or done? I sure have. Sometimes I'm right. Most of the time, I'm probably wrong. That assumption on what they were doing. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them. How long has it been? How long has it been? They fought for 7 years. Now they're, when they were on their way out, they built this, and then they went over into their own area. And how long was it before someone from this side came and saw it, went back and said, "This is what's going on there"? I don't know. If anybody else found out how long, I don't know. Let me know, okay? Then the children of Israel, verse 13, sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh into the land of Gilead. And with him, 10 rulers, one ruler each from the chief house of every tribe of Israel, and each one was the head of the house of his father among the divisions of Israel. And then they came to the children of Israel. So they went with an assumption, and now they are going to make accusations. Assumptions lead to accusations. Assumptions lead to accusations. Verse 15, then they came to the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh to the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them, saying, "Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord." Everybody's talking about what you did. Everybody's talking about it. This is what they're saying. "What treachery is that you have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day?" I don't know what tone of voice they used. I think they probably used an angry voice. That's what I think, maybe. That turn away this day from following the Lord, in that you have built for yourselves an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord. They hadn't rebelled against the Lord, but they didn't know that at this point. I can see what you're doing here. I know what you're doing here. I'm assuming what your intentions are. "Is the iniquity of Peor not enough for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord?" Now, how many of you went to Numbers 25, 1 through 9, and you read the story? Yeah, and do you have any questions? I hope not. Because I don't understand. I don't understand. This I do know, that God takes our walk with him very seriously, and we should take it just as seriously. So if you need explanation on that, talk to someone else. But that you might... I'm sorry. I mean, we could talk on that for a long time, but we're in this chapter now, but that you must turn away this day from following the Lord. And it shall be, if you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel. They remembered what it was like. God is going to judge us all for what you've done. Nevertheless, if the land of your possession is unclean, then cross over to the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us. We'll give you some land. If you are unhappy over there, we'll give you some land. Don't rebel against the Lord, nor rebel against us by building yourselves an altar besides the altar of the Lord our God. And then he reminds him of, didn't Achan, the son of Zeor, commit a trespass in the accursed thing? And wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man did not perish alone in his iniquity. You remember it included a lot of people. Because we never sin unto ourselves. And they knew, they had learned from these two situations, particularly what it meant to go against the law of the Lord. Now, this is Old Testament, and I'm so thankful for the New Testament. I'm so thankful for God. I do love how they handled it. They went and they talked about it. They went and they talked about it. And so, as they talked about it, they were communicating. Communication leads to clarification. Communication leads to clarification. How many times have we jumped to a conclusion on something only to find out that we were completely wrong on it after we talked to the person? How many times have we gone through months of thinking the wrong thing because we didn't want to talk to them about it? We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to upset them. I don't want to talk to them because I'll get carried away. We have all of our excuses why we don't want to communicate. But communication leads to clarification. And so the clarification comes in verse 21. Then the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh said to the heads of the divisions of Israel, they said, oh my goodness, is what they said. Oh God of gods, oh God of gods. You can hear their brokenheartedness. He knows, and let Israel itself know, if it is in rebellion or if in treachery against the Lord, do not save us this day. If we have built ourselves an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if we offer on it burnt offerings or grain offerings, or if to offer peace offerings on it, let the Lord himself require an account. The Lord himself will require an account. But in fact, we have done it out of fear, because we know the story. We know what happens. We know how people are as well. The fear is for a reason, saying, in time to come, your descendants may speak to our descendants, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between you and us, your children, and Reuben and Gad. You have no part of the Lord. So your descendants would make our descendants cease fearing God. We put the altar there so that your descendants would not cause us to stop fearing the Lord. We needed a reminder there of what we have done. We fought with you to get that land. God promised us the land that we have, but our descendants will get together with your descendants and they will make a decision otherwise. That's why we built it. We didn't build it to offer sacrifice on it. We didn't build it for any other reason than as a witness to what God has done through us to help you. Verse 26, therefore we said, let us now prepare to build ourselves an altar, not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between you and us and our generations after us, that we may perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your descendants may not say to our descendants in time to come, you have no part of the Lord. Therefore, we said that it will be when they say this to us or to our generations in time to come that we may say, here is the replica of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, though not for burnt offerings or for sacrifices, but it is a witness between you and us. We have tangible proof. Verse 29, far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn from following the Lord this day to build an altar for burnt offerings, for grain, or for sacrifices besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle. God forbid that we should do this. They needed a reminder. We need reminders of what God has done. We need reminders. What are some of those reminders? Some of those reminders are filling out that map, reminding ourselves. Some of those reminders are writing scripture. Some of those reminders, I wear a cross. Every time that I look at my cross, do I think of Jesus? No, I probably don't consciously think about it, but I am subconsciously reminded of what this cross represents. By the way, I've had this cross for probably 48 years. And I was with a friend at an Athletes for Action luncheon. And this was a door prize. And it's 18 karat gold. And I was there as a guest. I'd never been a part of it before. My friend took me. And they called my name, and I almost fell off my chair. I honestly did. I was so shocked that I got it. I've lost it at least 5 or 6 times. I lost it when I was in Israel. I lost it when I was in Newport Beach. I've lost it in the house because my chain would come undone or something. And it's always been found because God's cross is always, always that reminder of what Jesus did for us. So I'm thankful that that happened with me. So they had the communication that led to clarification. And remember that they only had one side of the story. They went with one side of the story. In Proverbs 18:17, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. So I've said, blah, 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 blah. And somebody's going, oh, I can't believe they did that. Oh, I'm gonna stand up for you. And then they go to that other person, and then they find out, oh, well, wait, you instigated it. How come you're mad at them for it? But whenever I counsel anybody, I always tell them, especially in a marriage situation, I only have one side of the story. I'm not saying that your side is not right, not true. I'm just saying I only have one side of the story. So there's his side and her side, and in the middle somewhere is the truth. Because of the way that we look at things. So here we are remembering Proverbs 18 to hear both sides of the story. So that communication that led to clarification. The altar would be called to a witness. So assumption leads to accusation and communication leads to clarification. So then what happened in verse 30? And when Phinehas the priest and the rulers of the congregation, the heads of the divisions of Israel who were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. And then Phinehas, the sons of Eleazar, the priest, said to the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us. This day we perceive that the Lord is among us. When we were in prayer this morning for you guys and for the Bible study and for all different people even that are not here, we perceived that the Lord was among us. That time of prayer, that time of intimate relationship with the Lord. Do not, it is the easiest thing to let go. Why do we do that? Why do we not pray? Why do we not talk to the Lord? Why do we not listen to the Lord? God is speaking to us today that the Lord is among us because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. They were never in a bad place. So, but what he's saying is, we will not go to war against you. So you've delivered them from that. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest and the rulers, returned from the children of Gad and Reuben and from the land of Gilead, the land to the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought back word to them. So the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God. They blessed God. They spoke no more of going against the children, against them in battle, to destroy the land where the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and Gad called the altar witness, for it is a witness between us and the Lord is God. That witness between us and the Lord. I need you to see that God is at work in me. I need to see that God is at work in you, and trust him to do these great things. So that assumption that leads to accusation, communication leads to clarification. So I challenge us not to take verse 5 or to take verse 5 seriously. To do all that was commanded of us, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, to serve him with all your heart, to serve him with all your soul. I came up with 6 in there, and you know, 6 is the number of man, so I don't know if that means anything to anybody else, but God knows that we are simply dust. He knows our frailty. So I ask, do you always love the Lord your God? Do you always walk in all his ways? Do you always keep his commandments? Do you always hold fast to him, hold on tight to him? Do you always serve him with all your heart? Do you always serve him with all your soul? For me, the answer is no, unfortunately. There are times I've not trusted him. There are times that I've sinned. I haven't followed his commands. There are times when I said, I just can't do this. I can't be a Christian. It's too hard. I didn't hold fast to him. Thank God I came back. I haven't always served him with all my heart and all my soul. So what do I do with that when I don't do what I know to do? God knows the heart of man. He knows our every weakness. He knows that we could not pay the debt we owed for disobedience to him. So he sent his only son, Jesus, who became that sacrifice for my sin and for your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe, trust in, rely on, cling to, adhere to. That's what the word believe means. It's not all just here. It's completely immersed in it. So what do I do when I sin? I confess my sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're going to end today with you singing. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Lord Jesus, will you make us what you want us to be? Will you strengthen our hearts? Will you strengthen our stamina? Will you strengthen, Lord, our minds? Would you strengthen our hands? Would you raise our hands in worship to you, Lord God? Would you draw us closer to you? Lord, let us see you. We want to see you. We want to be in a place, Lord, where we know that we are right in the center of your will. Help us, Lord, to invest the time that we need in prayer with you. Help us to just sit at your feet and allow you to bless us. Lord, help us to be thankful for the blessings that you poured out on us. Help us, Lord, to not assume someone else is trying to get us, to not assume that someone else isn't doing the right thing. But Lord, when we do see it, just like they did, the priest, Eleazar's son, whoever it was. Anyway, the one who said, let's find out the truth. They were willing to confront, to find out the truth, and not just go to war. Help us to seek peace, Lord, to seek peace among believers, and be about the work that you've given us to do, and that's sharing your love, your grace to others, Lord, to bringing them, allowing them to have an opportunity to see our witness that brings them to a place of salvation, a place of repentance. And we know, God, that you are able. You are able to accomplish in me what you want me to be. And you are not only able, but you are willing, and you will do what you said you would do. And I thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, kids. Bless you. Bless you.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, I'm walking on. In the power of your name.